Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. How would you like to be rewarded for what TV programming you watch? Tatatu, a new venture with a foundation of blockchain and cryptocurrency elements, promises just that. The promise maker here, Tatatu's organizer Andrea Ernovino, joins me next in Innovative Exclusive Live from the Cannes Film Festival. The annual ATX Television Festival happens next month. We'll head to Austin, Texas later this hour for the details. Direct from co-executive directors Caitlin McFarlane and Emily Gibson. And the rave reviews keep coming for Dear White People, now in its second Netflix season. Co-star Marquis Richardson will be live with us during our final half hour. Also ahead, all the key details on NBC and Fox's fall season, Lost in Space moves forward while Project One Way moves back, a new series from Netflix with Guillermo del Toro, and our classic trivia question this week. Hello everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. It's just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Olo.com, proud founding partner of the 2018 New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this Monday after Mother's Day for the program All About Television. We got a big 90-minute edition for you. 65 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. A lot of news and a lot of people to get to. And we are delighted you are along for the ride. And we invite you to be in the conversation. All it takes, you pick up the phone and you dial in with this number. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway, or catch us across the country around the globe on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And we have our chat room in business. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. You can get into the room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and we'll get your thoughts on the air. And while the program is on the air, you can connect with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Andrea Carolino from Tatatu will join us live from the Cannes Film Festival after these news notes. The three new series will premiere this fall in prime time on NBC. One will follow The Voice on Monday nights, Manifest, a mystery hour from executive producer and director Robert Zemeckis. The second is medical drama New Amsterdam, set inside New York's Bellevue Hospital. It will run on Tuesdays after another installment of The Voice and season three of the prize-winning This Is Us. The only comedy of the three is I Feel Bad, wrapping up a two-hour Thursday block of returning superstar, The Good Place, and hit reboot Will and Grace. NBC's Trio of Chicago Hours from Dick Wolf moves to Wednesdays. Ned, Fire, and P.I. in that order. Law and Special Victims Unit will move to Thursdays at 10 for its 20th season, tied with Law and Order and Gunsmoke for the longest-running live-action primetime drama. NBC will offer The Blind Spot, Midnight Texas, and Dateline Fridays, 2-hour Dateline Saturday Night Live Encore Hours Saturdays, and Sunday Night Football to complete the week. As for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which the network picked up this past weekend after Fox dropped it for good, will have to wait until 2019 for new adventures. Ditto new episodes of The Blacklist, Good Girls, and five new scripted series, including the much-anticipated The Gilded Age from Downton Abbey creator Julian Fellowes. Over at CBS, which unveils its fall primetime schedule Wednesday, a possible merger of that broadcast network and parent company with Viacom is now in jeopardy. CBS filed a lawsuit in Delaware Chancery Court this morning against Viacom owner Natural Amusements, Inc., and Viacom vice chairman Sherry Redstone. The lawsuit alleges that Redstone plans to interfere with a meeting of CBS's Committee of Independent Directors Thursday that may vote to lose her voting stake from 79% to 17%. So far, no response from Redstone or Viacom. We will have more news notes, including Fox's fall season plans, at the top of the next hour. And now joining us live and direct from the Cannes Film Festival, the Chief Executive Officer of MB Media Group, the folks behind the new blockchain cryptocurrency venture, Tatatu, Andrea Ervolino. Andrea, thank you for making the time for the festival.
Ciao, Sam. Thank you to invite me to do an interview with you, because for me it's a pleasure and it's an honor. I'm a big fan of you. I follow you every day. So for me, it's really a big pleasure. I'm here in Cannes. It's fun, hard working at the same time, and we are meeting people from everywhere in the world to speak about Tambi and our movie, and also about Tatatu. And I like what you say. Tatatu is I think is the perfect place for everybody, and it's the right moment in the history to go out with a company like Tatatu, because Tatatu. What Tatatu does is basically share advertising revenue with users. All of us, we believe, when we join a platform like Instagram or like Facebook or like Snapchat, we believe it's free, but it's not free at all. We pay them with our privacy and with our data. And because what they do is basically they sell our information to company, to basically advertiser. So what Tata2 does, yes, we take the data from the user in the same way this other company does, but we share the advertising revenue with each of them. And also Tata2 give the possibility to people to finally monetize their social media relationship. Think about that. Myself, I have around 272,000 people in my Instagram account, and nobody pay me for that. And then you have people who have a thousand of friends. Nobody pay them. So what Tata2 does also give to all of these people the possibility to basically get some income from their friends, because when they invite people to join the platform, they will have a referral link with them, and with this referral link forever, when your friends which you invite, they will watch any content in the platform for free, you will get a piece of the advertising revenue you will generate with your friend. And and so I think is the perfect world for basically everybody. What we offer is not just movie, but it's also TV show, video clip, sport content, and lifestyle, celebrity moments, and all of these again for free. And everything you watch, everything you share, you get the award in cryptocurrency, in our own token, which is the TTU, the TTU token. So this is what I'm doing.
I didn't want to interrupt, John Grant. Just get 649 just joined our chat room. So if you have a question or comment, put it in the room. That's SimonApple04 by name at our homepage, blogtogray.com/televised, or give us a call and we'll get you on the air. Andrea, do you want people with this venture to be rewarded for the TV they already watch, or is the idea to reward them for a new television series that would use your blockchain and cryptocurrency venture to get on the air, to get in front of viewers?
Yes, so we reward people for when they watch the content which we offer as a platform. So we will have a premium content which we will license from a content provider, or we will produce ourselves, like the Lamborghini movie just announced today. Tata2 will co-finance the Lamborghini movie. So basically, we will have exclusive content only in Tata2, produced by us, and also content which we will do a license with other content provider. And in that case, of course, will be non-exclusive product, but will be a product which you can find also on in any other platform. But the difference is, in our platform is free, and we reward you if you watch that content on our platform. So I think everybody will be decided to join Tata2 to watch that content and not to go to pay, in any VOD platform or somewhere. So we will decide. We are the one who basically did like the content. And this is our own content.
When will TV viewers be able to start using this venture? Is it available now, or will it be available how far down the road? And if so, will it be available on smart TV sets or smart devices, or will they have to use their smartphones and tablets to trigger the service?
Yes. So May 31st, we will launch the platform in the U.S., Canada, New Zealand, Australia, U.K., and Italy. Italy just because I'm Italian. And then in 12 months, we will open the platform worldwide. We have a roadmap which every 3-4 months, we open new countries. And in the beginning, the Tata2 app will be available on the App Store for smartphone and tablet. And immediately after, will be on Roku, on Smart TV, and basically everywhere, in all of the platforms.
You're right now at the Cannes Film Festival. They're halfway through the festival right now. I know it's basically a film festival, but there are some TV producers there. In your talking or your discussions with people there, what do they think about your venture? Because of the, we have a number of blockchain cryptocurrency players who are trying to expand the TV universe. We have Liptree Adept out of England. We have Synergy TV here in New York. We've got MovieClick, MovieCoin, which was announced a week ago in Los Angeles and Hollywood. We have a venture in Canada. And all of them apparently want to create sort of a Netflix-like end-to-end process by which promising new television series, as well as movies, as well as other entertainment, are created, funded, marketed, produced, and ultimately distributed through the service, or if they want to contribute to an outside party. Why did you decide to go this route as opposed to try what they're doing?
You know, I know almost all of these projects which you just said, but you know, in my point of view, what Tata 2 does is a different concept, because, for example, MovieCoin, they are basically trying to finance movie to cryptocurrency, which then we will go in the normal system, in the normal distribution system. In some other platform, no, they are doing, I don't know. So what we do is all organization is like a studio on based on social media and in entertainment, because what we offer not only content and movie and TV show and with our people, but also we offer a social media site. So in the platform, also you can share your own photo, and based on the likes you have, you will get a reward, your own video, and celebrity can do of course the same things. And also in our platform, you can do video call, phone call, text message. So we are trying to offer to our user an environment where they will be in, and they don't need to leave our platform for basically nothing at all, and because they can find everything you want. So this is our vision, this is our goal, and here in Cannes, when we are meeting clients and also we are meeting the producer, and everybody is excited, and everybody, you know, we are making many different deals, because we will have a strong pipeline next year of original content. So we are looking for many movie I to say everybody loved the idea, and as soon as I tell to everybody, you know, Facebook is not free, Instagram is not free, and I explain to them why, and I explain what we do, everybody tell me, Andrea, this is the right moment to do something like this, because when I started to this project 22 months ago, I 23 months ago now, I didn't have any idea about the big scandal of Facebook had will happen 2 months before I will launch my platform. But I knew people will realize. So this is absolutely, I think, the right moment for a company like that. And everybody understand that.
We are I'm sorry, Andrea, just wanted to break for a second. We are live with Andrea Ivolino. He is the head of Tata 2, the new blockchain and cryptocurrency-powered social entertainment platform that is inviting people to get rewarded for the TV shows they watch and maybe the TV shows they will be watching down the road. He joined us live from the Cannes Film Festival in Cannes, France. They're halfway through that Fortnite festival with that wonderful activity down by the water. And he's with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. 90-minute edition coming your way this Monday of May 2018. Simon Appleband with you live from New York. We're simulcasting live on Block Talk Radio and Spreaker.com. And we're also being presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or content for Andrea, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Next half hour, we're going live to Austin, Texas, and we will speak with the folks behind the annual ATX TV Festival, Ken McFarlane and Emily Gibson. That festival takes place next month. They got a lot of interesting features this year, including a brand new project that will live beyond the actual festival time. And then, nearly an hour from now, we'll go to Los Angeles, and we will speak with the co-star of the popular Netflix series, Dear White People, based on the Clinton Senate movie, Marquis Richardson. He will be live and exclusive with us. So stick around. We have a lot more coming your way. And we also have the Fox fall season lineup and some other news notes that have broken so far today. That's also coming up later this program and our classic trivia question of the week, too. Andrea, what has been the reaction with people you've talked to about this whole idea of blockchain and cryptocurrency as a way to finance television or finance other entertainment?
You know, I think the reaction from people from our industry and also from general crowd, I think the reaction is great. And I think everybody, you know, when so many projects come out, you know, and they have a similar mission, and they're following a trend, and they are well recognized immediately, they immediately can raise a lot of funds to go ahead, or audience, you know. I think the action is great, also because I really believe in the blockchain as a technology, and I think the blockchain technology will resolve many, many problems and many things which should be resolved as soon as possible after 12 years of internet, and which internet totally changed the world, that changed many different industries. I remember when I did my first movie, I was 15 years old, so it's only 15 years ago now, because I'm 30, but at that time, when I did my first movie in Italy as a producer, I went to finance my movie, collecting money door by door in my town, and then in order to make money back with my movie, I was obligated to find a distribution in the theater. I didn't have access, so I invented a new distribution model in the morning in the theater. And only in that way I became successful, because I invented the Chinese School Day, and because the income came from the theater. So the first big income at that time was the theater, and then the second biggest income was the free TV, the free TV sets. So then in the last 15 years, this totally changed, because now you have so many movies which you can finance only with internet, only with new distribution model, so the industry is so different, but the business model many players in the industry use is still the old one. So the blockchain and all of this new technology and all of this new company and all of this new creative way to finance projects, share projects, I think they are great. They are really, really needed. And again, today, I don't know, in every 100 movie produced, maybe only 2-3 of them need that theatrical release to make sense on the business point of view and on the distribution life point of view. Because again, many of them now didn't need a classic distribution model anymore. So the blockchain and all of these projects around will help all of these other 97 movie to basically have a life, have a way to be financed, have a way to be watched from people, and so I think it's great. I think it's a very good thing. I'm so happy so many other players in the industry are doing similar things, so similar type of project, and they're using again the blockchain and the internet as a way.
Yeah, I understand that. Under your system, viewers are not only to be rewarded for the content they watch, but also for the content they share with other people. Is it the reward just tokens, or do you see some advertiser connections? Let's say viewers are rewarded with discounts off merchandise, or a free ticket to an upcoming movie like Avengers: Infinity War.
So, you know, in the beginning will be only in token, and also we will offer them a debit card, which will give the possibility to many users who don't know the way to go to sell this token to the exchange, et cetera, will give the possibility to this user to convert this token in cash and go to spend with the virtual debit card in the app, in real goods everywhere. So in the beginning will be specific token, but of course, our goal is to basically give our users the possibility to spend this token in the platform to buy gadget, to buy something special, you know, which they cannot have access in the real life, like something special from the celebrity which will participate to a movie, or some special experience on the set, and so we are working on that, but for sure in the first 6-7 months we'll be just talking. And, because you know, in the first 6-7 months you have to do so many things to make our technology better and better and better. We have to do testing, so our focus will be more on the tech and the content side, and then eventually after on these other merchandising, the budget, the e-commerce, which also is in our roadmap.
On the content side, are you hearing from what kind of producers or directors or series creators are you hearing from? Are you hearing from new talents? Are you hearing from independent filmmakers who want to get into television? Or are you hearing from the likes of, for example, earlier this afternoon we learned that Netflix is launching a new series with Oscar winner Guillermo del Toro, a horror anthology. We'll have that news note, by the way, coming up in the next hour. Who is interested at this point in using blockchain and cryptocurrency to create new television series? Are we seeing like a new set of programmers coming in, or a new set of series creators? Are we seeing the major players like saying, "Look, hey, this is a better deal for me"?
Yeah, you know, today we just announced a movie, and which is the Lamborghini movie about the life of Ferruccio Lamborghini, which is where we have as a lead actor Antonio Banderas, Alec Baldwin, and Maria Grazia Cucinotta, which is a very famous Italian actress. She was in Ippolino, won a few Oscars, and the director is Bobby Modesco, an Oscar winner. So I think this is a high level type of project, and I think we are looking to everybody, so to big movie stars, but also young filmmaker and Oscar winning director, but also new director, because I think this type of platform gives the chance to everybody. So give a chance to everybody, and new filmmaker, new people, new actor, and also established one. So we are looking at a mix of these. We have another very big project which we will announce soon. I cannot say nothing about this right now, but it's another very big project. And then we have many very experimental projects, some documentary, some very famous movie star or some passion. So we have many different type of projects, I would say. And you know, as a guy who started from nothing and from zero and at the age of 15, I really like to give the chance to young people. So if we would receive a vision from young filmmakers where they are at the first experience, for sure will be that part of who we will evaluate to and also a project like this. So we are open on everything.
Andrea, before we leave you, we have a couple minutes left in our conversation. Obviously, the fact that you're doing what you're doing and LiveTreeAdapt and Singular DTV and RubyCoin and GroupUp in Canada are all in this, there's a suggestion that there's a growing belief that somebody is going to get this formula correct and that blockchain and cryptocurrency is going to be a big deal. In terms of getting new television off the ground, keeping popular shows on the ground, as well as other forms of entertainment. For you, how big do you think this is? What will the ultimate impact be on the kind of television we will be seeing now and down the road?
You know, I think we can expect exactly the same level of content we see now from the major platform like Amazon, like Netflix, like the biggest player around right now. I think not in 1 year, but I think in 4 or 5 years, I think we will see exactly the same level of production and movie and investment. And because if you think about the size of the amount of these like startups. Start like Tata 2, we start with $575 million. So a startup with $575 million is a massive investment. And MovieCoin, I think they are doing like $250 million. I don't remember now the size of them. Then I saw some other projects at 50, at 70. Thank you. So, you know, these startups have a real big possibility to really to become a big player in the industry, and also very quick with a very competitive technology. So I think it will be very big. I think it will be very big.
If you want to know more about Tatatu and what it is up to and where you can find and use it, here's where you can go online. It's www.AndreaLevolinoProducer.com. It's a long internet address, but here it is again, www.AndreaLevolinoProducer.com. Andrea, before we go, is Tatatu going to get its own website? Is there a different address that's going to be happening soon?
The Tatatu website is www.tatatu.com.
I get to try and say www.tatatu.com. Andre, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
There we go. Okay, great. Okay, we got you. Andrea, thank you very, very much for taking the time out of the Cannes Film Festival where you are, where it is coming up on 8:30, 9:30 your time, mid-evening your time, prime time in Cannes. Thank you again for making the time to be with us this afternoon. All the very best with your venture. We definitely would love to have you back on, and let's see how your venture contributes to this perhaps unfolding blockchain cryptocurrency-powered TV world.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You too, Andrea. Take care. All the greatness.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Andrea Levolino joining us live from the Cannes Film Festival in Cannes, France, exclusively this half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. We'll have more guests and more of our program coming your way shortly. But first, some words from the fine folks at our sponsor, Audible.com. Ronan Farrow has been in the news lately for his in-depth reporting on everything from the Harvey Weinstein scandal to what has been going on lately in terms of the Me Too movement and much, much more. And now he has an audiobook out, which you can get, and he narrates through Audible.com. It's called War on Peace. That's War on Peace. By the way, Farrow has a new deal to create programming for HBO in the months and years ahead. But you can get Ronan Farrow's new work, War on Peace, with a trial run at Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Just remember, sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook like War and Peace by Ronan Farrow, one of your choice. 1 month trial, great audio service from the fine folks at Amazon.com, the parent of Audible. And remember, Audible.com is one of the prime development partners of the upcoming 2018 New York Television Festival happening this July in the Big Apple. Second straight year they are doing that wonderful service. So remember, at Audible.com, listening is the new reading. Hear for yourself why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Pre-order book, 1 month trial, and more, audibletrial.com/televised. This is Tomorrow We Televised, 90-day edition of Photo Love Television on this middle of May edition, 2018. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Happy you're with us when you're catching us live on Blog Talk Radio or on Spreaker.com. More guests coming your way in the hour ahead. Invite me to part of the conversation. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our next episode will be on Friday. We'll keep you posted throughout the week through Facebook and Twitter as to who our guests will be. We're going to try to get somebody to talk about the whole week of activity here in New York, where the key broadcast networks, Spanish language networks, and key cable networks like ESPN, TBS, AT&T, et cetera, will be announcing what they're doing this fall and beyond. So we'll have a TV critic do their thing for us right here in Top Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. And next week, we'll have 3 episodes for you. It's our 3 episode week of the month. That'll be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, all at this very hour. And then the following week, we'll be with you Tuesday and Friday, Tuesday because of Memorial Day weekend. We come back. We're going to ride to Austin, Texas, side of the annual ATX TV Festival, and we'll speak with their co-executive directors, Kim McFarland and Emily Gibson. And coming up also in the hour ahead, from Dear White People, the co-star, Marquis Richardson. And we'll have Fox's fall season lineup, other news notes as well, and our classic trivia question of the week. So stay where you are. We're just getting started, and we'll have more as we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Key and D Unplugged show, as unpredictable as anything else on radio. Check it out tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised. My edition coming your way this Monday afternoon. Tommy Applebaum with you live from New York. Glad you're joining us on Blog Talk Radio or speaker. And if you have some questions or comments for our guests ahead, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, TimeAndApple04 by name. Next month, June 7th, 10th, Pacific, is an annual festival in the world of TV unlike any other. It's the ATX TV Festival. And joining us live from Austin, Texas, the site of that wonderful event, we have the co-executive directors and interview exclusive, Kaylin McFarlane and Emily Gibson. Kaylin, Emily, thanks for being aboard.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Kaylin, I'll start with you, sort of segueing from our conversation the last half hour. Are you getting a lot of feedback from people who enjoy the festival about getting involved with blockchain and cryptocurrency as a way to put shows on the air?
No, we're not. We haven't heard it. Actually, I mean, we know what cryptocurrency is and generally know a lot of different routes that are being taken to make TV, but we haven't heard about that one at all. So I guess that's up next.
What do you all think about that? What do you think about the fact that we're now seeing this like groundswell of companies like Andrea's company talking to us from Cannes Film Festival last half hour, or MovieCoin Los Angeles, which announced a week ago, or Singular DTV here in New York, or Lift Your Depth and Group Up in Canada. There seems to be this groundswell of somebody's going to make this work, and we're seeing like blockchain conferences and cryptocurrency conferences like spring up here in New York and all over the place.
I honestly don't know much about it at all. I do find like that the landscape of television right now is really interesting and breaking open what TV is and how it's getting made. And I don't think the big networks are going anywhere, but between streaming and self-funding and independent pilots and all the different places that you can watch television, it's all up for grabs and all possible. But yeah, I find it really, the whole concept of television right now, very interesting about all the different ways that content can get to us and all the different shows that are being represented.
Well, welcome guest 663 into our chat room, SignApple04. Bonet, thanks for coming aboard with us. Put your questions or comments in the chat room. We'll get to them, or you can give us a call at 646-652-2906. Kaylin, how are things going for the festival next month? What are some of the interesting attractions you're going to have?
It's going really well. This is a really exciting time that we have about 90% of our panels and screenings out right now. We do often get some straight from upfront, so there's some coming soon blocks and some pending things. So as shows are being picked up, sometimes we can snag them very, very early and be able to screen them. But some of our bigger things this year we're doing, our opening night is a new HBO series called Sharp Objects, based on Gillian Flynn's book of the same name and starring Amy Adams and being directed by Jean-Marc Vallée, who did all of The Big Little Lies, amongst many other things. But that's our big opening night launch of a new series. And then closing night, we're doing with Entertainment Weekly a look back at the origin story of Saul Goodman from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul with Bob Odenkirk and Vince Gilligan. We like to try to bookend the festival with something a little nostalgic and something brand new. And all the way in between, we have everything that sort of represents both of those as well, from writer's rooms, from we have a 30-something reunion with all of the actors and Marshall Herskovitz and Ed Zwick. We've got premieres of new shows from a lot of different networks. Netflix will be there. Hulu's a big partner. It's a nice spectrum. If you love TV, there's going to be something there for you.
And then really one of the things that your festival has become known for, especially in the last couple of years, has been these reunions where you bring back not just the cast members of a show, but the producers, the directors, everyone who had a creative hand in it. What's it like, for example, in this case with 30-something, what's the process of getting everybody back? Do you start with the creators? Do you start with the actors? Do you get everybody at the same time? How do you work something like that to happen?
Every reunion we do is completely different. So there's not really a straightforward answer, but it always starts with someone that we know, whether it's an actor, one of the stars, or a producer, or a writer. It always starts knowing someone that can then go out to everyone and say, hey, are you interested? So like we did Ugly Betty a couple years ago, and it was because we knew America Ferrera and saw her and said, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And she got excited about it and sent an email to the entire cast, and they all said yes within 24 hours. And then for Felicity, which we're doing this year, it kind of came from a few different ways. We work extremely closely with FX, who had wanted to do something with the finale of The Americans, and we had been wanting to do Felicity for a while. So we kind of went through FX to get to Keri Russell and really started with her in a, you can't do Felicity without Felicity. So every way is completely different and new. And but really, the big thing is making sure the people that are coming want to get back together, because we obviously don't want to do a reunion for people that don't want to be back in the same room. So our key is, do these people still get along? Do they want to see each other again?
Mm-hmm. And is, how is Keri looking forward to the show that made her a star first before The Americans? Of course, The Americans is wrapping up now on FX. They were shooting here in Brooklyn, where I live, a few months ago. I love that show, and it's really getting, I think, a great reaction to its final season.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't spoken to her directly. It's been through FX, but we had been trying to do, as Emily mentioned, Felicity for a few years, and the feedback was always she really wants to do this. It's just a matter of timing, either with The Americans or personal or movies and things like that, but we sometimes start down roads to do reunions, and we find out very quickly that that person is not interested in coming, and we never felt like that from her, that she was always very excited to do it and was just finding the right time, the right year to have that reunion. And then it worked out this year that it's 20 years since Felicity premiered. So it just felt like a nice round number, good time, end of The Americans. So kind of celebrate it twofold.
Caitlin, with all the outstanding shows that are now running on television, which is like a dream to pick from, how do you and Emily and your crew pick what shows you highlight, especially shows that are like Sharp Objects with Amy Adams on HBO are on the way? They haven't premiered yet, but there's a lot of buzz about them already.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a rolling acceptance period for our programming. Our biggest thing is that over the 4 days, we try to represent a third past, a third current, and a third premiere shows. And then within that, we want to keep a balance of drama and comedy, not too heavy-handed on sci-fi, lighter topics, darker topics. So, I mean, we start planning the festival about a month after, if not during, the current festival. There are things that 30-something, for example, was booked for last year. We had announced it, and then scheduling, it just sort of all fell apart, but they also wanted to do it. We just bumped it to the next year, and they're all coming this year with more people even, so that there's ultimately, it is just us trying to figure out the balance of all of that programming and slotting it in as we go in the months as it leads in. So some of it's our own personal taste, but we like to say a lot that this is not the Caitlin and Emily Festival. So we will fight for certain things, but then we will really listen to our followers, to our network and studio partners who will tell us, you want this person here, this is a good show, there's a good conversation. And ultimately, the festival has gotten this loving nickname of being called TV Camp for grown-ups. And everyone that comes, whether they're on a panel or in the audience, loves television. And one of our favorite things to do is to watch the people who make TV geek out on other television shows. A couple years ago when we did the West Wing reunion, my favorite thing was seeing showrunners running to the theater to get there because they wanted to hear from Aaron Sorkin and the cast talking about their favorite shows. So we really just sort of try to keep a pulse on all of those things and then just keep it as balanced as possible.
The annual ATX Television Festival will be taking place in Austin, Texas next month, June 7th to 10th, to be specific. We've got the co-executive directors on the line from Big A with us this half hour. And tomorrow we televise. They're Caitlin McFarlane and Emily Gibson, and they would love to hear from you. So give a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name, you got 663 already in the room. And coming up in our next half hour, we have live from Los Angeles, one of the co-stars of Netflix's acclaimed series, Dear White People, based on the famous independent movie of 4 years ago, now in its second season. Marquee Richardson will join us live. That's next half hour, right here exclusively on Smart Televised. And along the way, we will have news notes on Fox's fall season lineup, some other major stories that broke earlier today and this afternoon, and we're also at our Clock Street Question of the Week. So stand by. You could be the winner of the new Frankenstein paperback from National Geographic. The very show you wrote, Frankenstein, by the way, will be the subject of the third season next year of their Emmy-nominated series, Genius. Emily, what are some of the other highlights, some of the other shows that you're going to be screening at the festival this year?
Well, we are some of the people and shows we're highlighting. So for the first time this year, Robert and Michelle King are coming, co-creators of The Good Wife and The Good Fight and my personal favorite, Brain Dead, really talking about all three shows, but really highlighting The Good Fight since it's currently on CBS All Access. We're also doing a conversation about American Vandal after it was such a success on Netflix this past year. We are looking at doing, or we are working on highlighting Castle Rock, which is Hulu's new show based on Stephen King novels, produced by J.J. Abrams, so doing a little bit of a highlight with the two co-creators of that. We're going to be screening an episode of Claws from TNT and Brockmire from IFC. It's really across the board. Oh, we're going to be screening an episode of Station 19, the Grey's Anatomy spinoff, talking about Shonda shows and how those cross into different universes and really what Station 19 is all about.
But then the other half of our programming is panel conversations, which we're really passionate about, and they are definitely at times curated from the outside through a sponsor or brand or a network or studio, but a lot of times it's what we feel people are talking about in TV. So they can be super insider baseball. In the past, we've done panels on focus groups and the rating system, which, again, has a lot of industry sitting in the audience trying to figure out how to save their shows, which is especially timely this week during upfronts. But then there'll be extremely like lighthearted fan topics on writing best friends for TV or writing high school shows. And then in the last few years, we felt it was really important. I think it was going into our fourth or fifth year where we felt we were growing and we wanted to, you know, being a television festival wasn't unique enough. We needed to up our game and really talk about the importance of television and how, as a medium, it really has the ability to educate and change hearts and minds. So this year, we've been doing it for a couple of years, but this is the first year that we launched all of those panels as a track, and it's through our foundation, which is called the Syndication Project. But then we've paired with the Television Academy, ACLU, Hollywood Health and Society, Student Veterans
of America,
to have conversations on representation in the military, or just generally, as with the Television Academy, our panel is how television has a responsibility to have wider representation and deeper storylines of more than just a special episode of or a token character. We're doing one this year on, it's called Her Body, Her Choice, and it's on either the representation or lack of representation of abortion on television, and really trying to dig deep into how important TV is as a medium, and that it, while it is very much entertainment and it should be treated that way, it also has a responsibility and has the ability to really make the world a better place, which is a very lofty idea, but we believe in it.
Emily, talk more about this new project you have. You mentioned a moment ago the Syndication Project Foundation. What is the foundation up to, and is it just going to be part of the festival, or do you see it branching out and having a life of its own with events around the country?
We do see it branching out and having a bit of a life of its own. I mean, it will obviously always be closely tied to the festival, but the real heart of the Syndication Project is linking a cause or an issue with a story and an action. So if it's like on immigration, I mean, there's so many great shows on right now that are dealing with immigration. And so focusing on those stories that are being told and then working with an organization like the ACLU so that people sitting at home that are watching these stories and are moved by these stories and want to do something to make this a positive impact on the world, like what they can do. I mean, there's always donating money to these organizations, but a lot of times there's an actual hands-on thing that you can go out and do. People just are a little bit at a loss of how they can help. So it's really looking at these stories that need to be told and partnering with the organizations that are helping and supporting them with these stories so that people can understand how they can be impactful as well.
Mm-hmm. Caitlin, for the most part, your festival is a very special breed because most TV festivals, and we have a lot of them now around the country, focus on trying to become a conduit for new players to get their foot in the door by running pilots that are seen both by the public and by network or production company executives. And your festival is more toward showcasing television as a whole. Have you thought about opening up the festival to pilots or to pitches? I think you're having pitches this year.
Yeah, we have a pitch competition. Yeah, I mean, we haven't really, I guess this year is a little, we don't see the festival ever being a full pilot marketplace where it's an independent pilot or pilots looking for a network or studio home. But we do like to get pilots straight from upfronts as early indicators for audiences and industry to see these shows. We've had people come back to us and say they've sort of shifted their pilots before they launch in the fall or the spring based on the reactions at the festival, because it really is sort of a small but mighty group of quality television fans. But the thing that we have in terms of more of a traditional film festival even would be the pitch competition, which is our winner of that. They submit, and we do this through the Blacklist, and we work with the Sundance Episodic Labs to try to really get a strong representation of a new television idea with somebody who has the ability to actually write it, which is very important. But the winner of that, they pitch videos and submit samples prior to the festival, and then there's a live 10 finalists pitch live at the festival. They have 3 minutes to pitch, and then there's a Q&A session with our board of judges. And the winner of that gets mentored by one of the judges, hones their pitch, and then we set them up on meetings with studios to hopefully sell it. And out of that, our winners have gotten management. They've gotten staffed in rooms. There's potentially a sale on the horizon, but they really have, it's more an access to opportunity versus here's your blue ribbon or your cash prize. It is, how can we help you be better and get your foot in the door? And we always felt that was a better opportunity to give somebody than just naming them the audience award winner at the festival. We try to stay with them for at least a year, if not beyond that. But this year we're also showing, we sort of root this in television and people who make television who have gone the traditional route first, but we're screening a pilot this year by James Lafferty and Stephen Coletti, who are most famously in One Tree Hill, but James has gone on to direct episodes of The Royals and a number of other things and a lot of indie movies, and they have totally self-financed a pilot called Everybody's Doing Great. And they are working to get it funded in a non-traditional way to make the series on their own. And I think they're very much going to use the festival, as they absolutely should, with press and industry members and audiences to really gauge what they have in terms of the pilot form and take it from there. And we're hoping there's a lot of opportunity that way. And I think lastly, the thing that the festival has is really a more organic way, even for people who are very connected and have representation and are in the industry, to really kind of let their guards down for a weekend and see each other again. When they're making TV, they don't get to run into each other very often. And we've gotten actually a lot of feedback from either writers that have sold shows places or actors that have gotten cast in shows that they credit being at the festival and running into people and getting to talk to them or have a beer on the balcony and sort of be as relaxed as possible as the reason they got that job. It's mostly for them to say, but that is an opportunity that we think the festival and being in Austin and really being there to celebrate TV, not to have it be kind of cutthroat award season or TCAs or upfronts where everything is such high pressure, and really remind them why they love TV and why they love making it.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we would love to have Jason and crew behind this pilot to come on our program and let us know what they're up to, and hopefully we can maybe help move the conversation forward. By the way, we've had the Sundance Episodic Lab on our show earlier this year. I would love to get the Blacklist people on our program. Frankly, most folks, they are so secretive in terms of getting on, but they are doing a lot of interesting things in television, including the Partner of Women in Film. So if ever the Blacklist is listening, hey, folks, give us a call. We would love to have you on the program. You're doing some wonderful work, both for film and television, and it's time that you get recognized. So
We'll also be doing at the festival for the first time two of the scripts from the television Blacklist selections. We're doing script readings where we're casting from the actors at the festival, and Franklin's going to be doing the intros and reading the stage directions. They've started doing a lot of feature script readings, but they've really only done one other television script reading. So we thought it was time to do a couple at the festival. So we're really excited about that as well.
Ken McFarlane and Emily Gibson are joining us live from Austin, Texas, this half hour. They are at the home of the annual ATX Television Festival, which they are the co-executive directors of. The festival takes place June 7th to 10th, where they are. If you want more details online, go to www.atxfestival.com. That's www.atxfestival.com. Tommy Applebaum with you live this Monday afternoon on Marvin Televised. Coming up shortly, our classic trivia question of the week. And then in our second news notes feature, we will have Fox's full season lineup. And we have some other news notes that are broken over the course of the day. And then, joining us live from Los Angeles, we will have the co-star of the acclaimed Netflix series based on the same independent movie, Dear White People, Markeen Richardson. You do not want to miss that. And I understand both of you are big fans of that show.
Oh, we're huge fans.
Oh, we love it so much.
Justin Simien came to the festival last year to just be on panels because we loved it so much. And we tried desperately to get them this year, but it just timing-wise didn't work out. So hopefully at some point Markeen can come and the cast and Justin can come back because it's just great.
He is a tremendous writer, and I'm thrilled that Markeen is going to be with us in the next half hour. I hope you can stick around for that to take a listen. And like I said, he is a terrific talent. We're going to, by the way, talk to him about a project that he and a fellow co-star in Dear White People are also involved with, which I think, you know, it will really move and inspire you. So stay tuned for that as well. Before we wrap things up, Caitlin, I'll start with you. What do you think of this whole television scene right now as we are nearing the end of the first half of the year? What's your sense of where TV's at and where it's going?
Oh, gosh, that's such a big question. I mean, I love TV right now. I love that it is essentially you can find anything that you want and you can kind of create your own a la carte menu. You're not tied to a time and a place. I personally am a binge watcher for 90% of my viewing. So whether that's on FX and I let things sort of build up or a Netflix or a Hulu, I like to consume in great big giant bites, which is not the way that Emily likes to watch. But I do think that there's a bubble that will burst to a certain extent, but I don't think it's the networks, the big networks are going away. I think that they're evolving and they're changing and they're trying to figure out advertising, but there's still a large portion of people that view CBS, ABC, Fox, and that's it. They don't have Netflix, and those numbers, these This Is Us numbers and things like that just can't really be competed with. So I think it's an exciting time, and I think it is sad that some things don't sort of get the time to figure out who they are without before they get cut, which is, again, this week in a lot of places for the big networks. But I think that there's just such high-quality television out there, and you can have your guilty pleasures and your prestige TV, and you don't have to choose.
Yeah. And one thing we're definitely seeing is that this is the year that smart TV sets and smart TV devices have really broken loose to the point where now two-thirds of U.S. households have them. It's very clear this time they're watching Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, CBS All Access, Crackle, YouTube, et cetera, that maybe have people watching Facebook Watch, which I think is a story we're all going to have to follow soon. And now you have artificial intelligence, this idea of using Siri and Alexa and Google Assistant, voice systems like that in the set, or built into the device like an Amazon Fire TV or Roku or so forth, that you can control the set with your voice. And what do you think about that? Do you think that by this time next year you may have people at the festival saying, do a panel on artificial intelligence and how do we get interactive television on the air?
I mean, there is a very good chance. We do try and keep conversation. While most of our panels at the festival are very story-focused and the creation of TV, we do definitely want to touch on what's happening next. Like, we have a panel this year called Uncabled about these different streaming services and devices that
Roku's
have their own channels.
Yeah,
Roku's a big partner of ours. And so I think the fact that you can get TV anywhere, however you want, watch it on the go, is great in so many ways. I think the hardest thing, at least for me personally to do, is to still take my time with it because you feel the need to rush to keep up almost to the point where you don't enjoy the journey anymore. So I very much take my time with shows and will stretch them out and don't binge. But that's also very hard because there's so much great content, and you feel like if you don't keep up, then you're just going to be left behind. But it's also really nice to be able to pick and choose and watch how I want when I want.
And let's not forget that not too far down the road, we've got Apple jumping in and also that Disney
yep.
Netflix-like rival of original shows and movies that they will hopefully do late next year. And who knows? And don't forget, blockchain and cryptocurrency, funded shows. We'll see what happens there. Again, if you want to find out more about the annual ATX Television Festival happening June 7th through the 10th in Austin, Texas, here's where you go online, www.atxfestival.com. That's www.atxfestival.com. I promise you, you head down to Austin, you will have a marvelous time. Caitlin McFarlane and Emily Gibson, the co-executive directors of ATX, thank you again for joining us. Pleasure to have you aboard. Good luck with
thank
the festival
you.
Next month. Look to be a winner.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
You're welcome, Kennedy. Take care. All the greatest.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Kennedy McFarland, let me get to join us live from Austin, Texas. Now it's time for our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. And we're going to keep it in play this coming week. We launched it last Monday. Sorry to say, we did not get our fourth weekly winner in a row. So now we're going to try it for four over the last 5 weeks. So here's the question, and we'll try to replay it, by the way, before the end of the show. Here's the question. Remember the TV series I Led Three Lives? How did the 1950s ZIV TV production star Richard Carlson? And here's the question. On I Led Three Lives, what were the three lives that the main character, Herbert Philbrick, led? What were the three lives that the main character, Herbert Philbrick, led? If you want to know what they are, go to YouTube. A lot of episodes of that TV series are already there, available for your watching. So once again, the question, on I Led Three Lives, what three lives did the main character, Herbert Philbrick, led? If you're first with the correct answer, you will win the new Nat Geographic Channel version of Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. Mary Shelley will be the next subject of Genius 3, the third season of the Emmy-nominated series currently underway with season 2, Pablo Picasso, portrayed by Antonio Banderas. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full mailing address, so if you win, we can get the prize out to you ASAP. If you just missed the question, don't worry. We will try again before the end of the show to get it to you. If not, we'll post it tomorrow morning first thing on Facebook and on my Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. Let's see if we can get that fourth winner in 5 weeks. We can do it. It all starts with... There we go. As I was saying before we were rudely interrupted, if you are joining us for the first time on the program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check out our program any which way 24/7 via podcast. You can go to iTunes.com, Apple TV, and Spreaker's podcast radio apps, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. You go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you get our episodes right then and there. And if you use Apple TV, remember, you go to the iTunes Podcast app, and you get our shows that way. By the way, if you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. When we come back, Fox's primetime lineup, which is about to be introduced to Beacon Theater here in New York, and then live from Los Angeles, Dear White People co-star Marquee Richardson. We'll get to all that after we pause before the top of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, for the 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Feisty Side of 50. Check out the show for the people in the golden age, baby boomers doing wonderful booming things. That's every week, various times, Feisty Side of 50 right here on Blog Talk Radio, and some of our episodes, I believe, are also on Spreaker.com. Remember, Best Beat Charts also available 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to Tomorrow Be Televised, and welcome to those of you just joining us near the top of the hour on Blog Talk Radio or Spreaker, where we're simulcasting live. Simon Appel with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with a great guest coming your way over the next half hour. We invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a phone call from you. So pick up the phone, raise your voice, use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You'll catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We have our chat room in business, SimonApple04, my name, get a 663 already in the room, so you can use the phone or the room either way, we will hear you. And again, while the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Marquee Richardson, Dear White People co-star, live from L.A. after our second round of news notes. As with NBC, the new series making their way to Fox this fall are few and literally far between. You have to hang in until Friday to see one of two new editions. The week will kick off Monday with a second season pairing, The Resident, followed by 9/11. Tuesday's twosome is The Gifted and Lethal Weapon, with new co-star Sean William Scott replacing Clayne Crawford, who was fired by producing studio Warner Brothers Television for inappropriate on-set behavior. Empire and Star will continue on Wednesdays, and Thursday Night Football begins a multi-year run on Fox from CBS this September, called by Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Friday consists of Last Man Standing with Tim Allen in all new episodes, a year after its departure from ABC. New sitcom The Cool Kids, including David Allen Greer in a lead role, and Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay round out the night. College football featuring Big Ten and Pac-12 conference teams occupy Saturdays, and post-NFL programming Sunday features The Simpsons 30th season, Bob's Burgers, Family Guy, all animated, and new live-action player Rel, inspired by creator and star Lil Rel Howery. Gotham will have a final 13-episode run on Fox next year, and The Orville, with Joe McFarlane's program, will have a second round of episodes mid-season, joined by new dramas The Passage and Proven Innocent. Now for some quickies. Lost in Space will be back for a second Netflix season in 2019, and Netflix The Last Hour also announced a new horror anthology series from Oscar winner Guillermo del Toro of Shape of Water fame called 10 After Midnight. After a decade on Lifetime, Project Runway will return to Bravo, home for the award-winning fashion competition's first four seasons. It's the first TV effort by Lantern Entertainment, which acquired the assets of the Weinstein Company, which produced Runway and several spin-off series on Lifetime earlier this month. Lantern and Bravo will partner up on several other unscripted series ahead. USA Network's Suits spinoff with Gina Torres now has a name, Suits Second City. No date for debut. And Cash Cab will keep rolling on Discovery Channel with new episodes starting in July. And that is news notes for today. 4 years ago around this time, an independent movie came out that grabbed a lot of people's attention, called Dear White People, by a very talented filmmaker named Justin Simien. It was a dramedy about black students at a predominantly white school. A year later, Lionsgate, who helped release the film, approached Netflix and Simien about making that a series. And last year, it became a series and a critically acclaimed one. And this month, the second season started. Joining us live in an interview exclusive from Los Angeles, one of the co-stars of the original film and of the television series Dear White People, Marquis Richardson. Marquis, welcome aboard.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Simon.
It is a pleasure to have you. You sound super. And from what I understand, second season is as super as the first.
Yeah, people seem to like it, so we're happy. Definitely proud of the work, so we're excited that people are digging it. So it's a good time.
Did you and Justin and your fellow cast and crew members think that the program, in so short a time, from this movie that really was one of the sleeper hits of 2014, would have the impact it has had, not just on viewers but on the TV industry?
You know, I mean, Justin is a genius, and he's always had this plan for it to be a television show. However, I don't think anybody had the idea or the knowledge that it would be as impactful or as well received as it is. Especially, you know, Netflix, when they tell you you're going to release your project in 192 or 93 whatever countries, really grasp what that means until it actually happens. And so what a journey this has been all over the world.
Mm-hmm. What do you like about your character, Reggie Green, and about how he contributes to the whole ambiance of the show?
You said, what do I like about him?
Yeah,
I like that he stands up for what he believes in. I like that he's not perfect. You know, I feel that I get to play a superhero through Reggie, but not a superhero in the sense that he doesn't have his flaws and whatnot. But especially in season two, we see him kind of leaning into his vulnerability more, but with himself. So he's still, he has a journey to go to get back to healing anyway. But I definitely, like playing a badass.
I'll tell you, in watching, I saw the movie, and I've also seen many episodes of the show on Netflix, and what is so striking about all the characters, you included, is that here is this ensemble of students in this unique situation, some might call it unfair situation, and how they are so grounded and funny, but also very pointed in how they approach the situation. It's so unexpected, the ambiance. It's so unexpected, the mood. It's so unexpected, the tone of the show. And I think that's really a credit to what Justin did with this film and what it did with the wages with the series. It's not out to be, we hate white people or we do this, da, da, da. It's a very natural, authentic, but yet very satirical and in some cases a rollicking journey for people.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and that's what's so cool about it is that at the end of the day, it's really just a story about identity versus self and the ability for the writers, you know, their ability that they're able to make you laugh first and then think is an amazing feat.
And just on the notes too, Marquis, is that it is a big point of the show is identity. It's not just about expanding the identity that you are, but it's also searching for how your identity makes a difference or doesn't with the general situation, with the general, you know, existence of
right.
the high school.
Absolutely.
How did you get involved in making the film in the first place?
Well, all of us, Justin and a lot of the cast, we have been friends for some years, actually, prior to, you know, working on the project back in 2013. So it was kind of just a natural progression, you know, just a group of people that had the same idea that just want to do well and do good work in the business and do it with each other. So that's how we all came together to shoot the film initially. Brandon Bell, who plays Troy in the film and the show, we went to USC together, and we lived on an all-black freshman floor, freshman year, and so we've known each other, you know, over 10, 11 years and whatnot, and so that just goes to show, you know, the family ties run deep with this thing, and Lena Wade, who was a producer on the show, I mean, a producer on the film, Justin, you know, Julia, everybody, you know, we've just been doing this for a long time, so to be able to keep doing it with the people that you love, it just doesn't get any better than that.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with Marquis Richardson. He plays Reggie Green on the popular Netflix adaptation of the critically acclaimed independent movie Dear White People, now in its second season, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices through Netflix. And Marquis joins us live from Los Angeles at that hour, interview exclusive on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us, whether you're catching us live on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker or through the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Either way, we'd love to have you involved in the conversation. So make a phone ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com, ready and waiting for you. How much of Dear White People is based on Justin's experience, and how much of it does he draw upon your experience and your fellow cast members?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because the experiences of the characters in the show, I mean, it draws from a lot of our lives and our own personal experiences that we had in college. I know for Justin, the characters of Sam and Rhino, you know, are really him, resonate, you know, deep with him, and that's kind of his specific voice, those two characters. But even on the set, in terms of, like, the writers listening to the conversations that we have, I feel like they have spy equipment in our trailers and whatnot, because it's so funny how just different things that have happened in our lives end up in the show. Kind of eerie. And then what's also eerie is that Justin also is, like, a psychic, because a lot of the things that occur in the show. I mean, we, you know, this season we shot back in 2000, September through December of last year, and a lot of that stuff is kind of happening now, you know, as the show premiered last week. Some of the hot topics in the culture right now, he's got his ear to the street. It's so weird.
Well, before we get to the second season and what kind of feedback you've gotten from the audience, talk about what it's like to be working and acting on a series ensemble style compared to the film back 4 years ago. Because here in the series, You have writers, you have directors, and I'm happy to say that many of them are people of color on both sides.
Right.
Very diverse production crew as well. Justin is involved as a writer on some episodes, sometimes a writer-director on others. What's it been like to get the series produced, to go from episode to episode where you sometimes have an ongoing storyline and then in other episodes the focus may not be as much on you as it is on other players?
Right. It's a dream. I mean, to be able to work on a show that's just good and honest and you know, diverse, and from the writerism, and as you said, to the cast and the crew, it just really enhances our personal experience because we get to tell our individual stories and the individual stories of our characters, you know, from their perspective. But we also get to listen to people and, you know, with empathy in a way, and to have conversations that we, you know, typically wouldn't have in these rooms. So, you know, and having Justin there from whether he's directing an episode or whether he's not, he's always there. So, you know, he's the spine of the show, and that's also very rare to have a creator who really, really, really cares about the work as the audience lives out. It's pretty rare and it's special. So it's just a dream. It's really a dream. We're spoiled.
Marquis, as a spine, what is Justin like to work with and, more importantly, to be with? And then you've had a chance now, along with the rest of the cast, some of whom, like yourself, came from the original movie, to be involved with him and his life for now close to 4 years.
Yeah, again, it's he's brilliant and compassionate and kind and just really good at what he does. Nobody can deny his talent. And, you know, so to be able to be in that orbit with him and all these other talented people, it's just a dream. And as we continue to, you know, progress in our careers and whatnot, you know, all of us, we have a strong foundation of friendship first with each other. So, you know, that's what maintains the relationship, and hopefully we all can keep doing things that we love with each other. So very, very honored, very grateful.
Second season has now been available through Netflix for about 2 weeks. What kind of feedback are you getting from viewers about the second season? How do they like the plot lines, the way your characters are evolving at this point in their school tenure?
Yeah, the viewers are insane, crazy, 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 in the best way. I mean, especially in the first 2 weeks, the cast and crew, we pay attention. You know, we listen to what the people are saying, from Instagram to Twitter to Facebook and whatnot, and, you know, people, there was one woman who, I forgot her name, but on Twitter she sent a video of herself. She literally, like, broke out in a rash on her neck, and she was showing us that she was so stressed out about the Reggie and Joelle, and Joelle's episode right before Reggie punches out Duncan and Trevor. But literally, like, the fans are so invested in the show, and when they like stuff, they let us know, and when they don't, they also want us to know. So it's so cool to see, and, you know, shout out to Brazil. I think Brazil is, like, a number two in terms of, you know, countries around the world who really reach out and love the show and participate and watch. So, again, 193, however many countries. This thing is insane. It's insane. So cool.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with Marquis Richardson. He is one of the co-stars playing Reggie Green on Dear White People, now in his second season on Netflix, based on the 2014 hit independent movie, which is a Lionsgate co-production with Netflix and with Justin Simien, the creator, who also serves as writer, director, et cetera, on the series. And Reggie and Marquis joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Apfel with you live from New York, Elijah, you're aboard with us on this mid-May afternoon. A lot of things happening here in the Big Apple. 65 degrees at the top of the hour. This is also the week where the major broadcast networks, cable networks, Spanish language networks announce their fall season and beyond shows. We're keeping track of that, and we'll do so on Facebook and Twitter, social media throughout the week, and hopefully more on our episode next Friday at the same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And don't forget, week after next, or should they next week, we'll with you three times, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, all right here, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Marquis, you and a fellow Dear Wife co-star have a charity going, and it's a very inspiring one. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so myself and it's actually all of us, the cast and crew of Dear White People, we formed the Jordan Edwards Memorial Scholarship. And basically that was Jordan Edwards. It was created in his name and his honor. He was a 15-year-old black boy who was murdered in Dallas, Texas on April 29th, 2017. And that was the same weekend that our show premiered, season one. So for us, you know, the show is more than just entertainment. It's a movement. So there was no way that we could just, you know, stand by and not do anything. So Jordan, he was leaving a house party with his friends on April 29th and his brothers, and a police officer fired into the back of the family's car as they were driving away, killing him in front of his two brothers, who were also children, also high school students. And Jordan, he dreamed of going to the University of Alabama. His room was decorated in the colors. He was a scholar, athlete, played football, had a dream of going to the university and, you know, becoming a pilot. So we formed the scholarship in conjunction with his family and created the endowment with the University of Alabama and it'll last in perpetuity. So thank everyone out there who donated to the fund, because we opened it up to the public as well earlier in January, and this has raised close to about $100,000 now. So if anybody else wants to get more information about the scholarship and also donate, we appreciate it. You can go to the website, the Jordan Edwards Memorial Scholarship.com, and you can read more about the story. Glad we were able to take this tragedy with his family and turn it into some light.
And the bottom line is that out of this tragedy, something good gets accomplished, and it benefits people, which is really wonderful. By the way, at the end of our interview, we will once again give everyone that internet address that we can encourage more people, some of our listeners, to contribute. Where do you and the cast hope that you're very, very welcome, Marquis. Where do you and the cast and Justin hope that this show will go? I'm assuming that the third season is definitely in the cards. Where do you want the show to go?
Well, hopefully a third season is in the cards. As y'all know, Netflix, they slash shows left and right. You never know. But hopefully we have a couple more seasons. And I know there's an infinite amount of stories to tell. We just got another 100% with Rotten Tomatoes, so that's pretty exciting. And, you know, we just want to keep doing work that helps people have conversations that they wouldn't have. I mean, there's so much more to talk about. And I feel like we've just hit the tip of the iceberg for sure. I'm not one of the writers on the show, but season three might already be written already, because, I mean, it happens that quick. There's so much ammo that we get, that the writers get for, you know, the seasons to come, and it's pretty exciting, so we'll see.
At some point, would you or some of the cast members like to direct an episode?
Maybe not. I personally wouldn't want to direct an episode. I know there's probably somebody in our group that has ambitions of directing, and I think if we were to get more seasons, that might be an option. That'd be cool. I'd love to see one of our castmates dive into directing. That'd be cool. I'd be looking forward to that, actually.
Inside, before you came on, we had the co-executive directors of the ATX Film ASTV Festival out in Austin, Texas, Kim McFarlane and Emily Gibson. They would love to have you and Justin and your cast and crew show up at their festival. They have a great one down in Austin, Texas, every May or June, and it gets a lot of TV fans out there who really, really love the medium. And so you have a standing invite, I think, from those folks to come on down next year or when you get a chance.
We love Austin, Texas. We were just there last year, anyway, for South by. And that was my first time going out there, so I had a great time. I would love to come back.
Before we leave you, Marquis, what's your thoughts about TV overall? You know, your program is contributing to more, there's certainly more diversity on television than there has been, ever been. And we know that in order to expand diversity from here, you can't just do it in one way. You've got to go all sorts of ways, all sorts of directions. And certainly there's opportunities out there. What's your thoughts about the future of TV being more diverse?
Oh, well, the future of TV, there's so much TV out there. You know, it's like a bubble. It's like there's not enough time in the day to watch all of the TV programs out there. But as far as diversity in TV, I hope that this moment lasts because studios seem to forget that representation matters and that diversity matters. And, you know, we've seen it in the past where either you have a lot of black people on TV and studios are used up to build the networks and then all of a sudden they're gone. You've seen it from UPN, you've seen it from WB, you've seen it on Fox, you've seen it on, I mean, all the different networks. So I hope this moment lasts. There's so much more work to do. I hope, you know, this show, Dear White People, aside from just, you know, representation of people of color, and then you have, you know, women, you have sexual identity, you have, you know, so many areas of representation that we can still do more on. So I hope this show, anyway, paved the way for other content and content creators, diverse content creators, to really get their stories out there, because there's an infinite amount of stories that need to be told. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how everything pans out.
Before we leave the program and before we leave today's episode, we should tell you know that some of the directors on Dear White People have also been directing On My Block, which is the Netflix critically acclaimed series about teens in South Central Los Angeles. We had one of the executive producers, Jeremy Hadley, on our show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm happy to say that show has been renewed for a second season.
Yes. You saw from the cast the other night at Netflix's FYC event. Love it, and very happy for them. But, you know, that's another diverse story that needs to be told. And clearly, in the third report, because it's a hit, it's a hot show, people love it. So congrats to them.
It is a great success story, Mark. I'm happy you like that show. We had Jeremy Happ, one of the executive producers and creators on the show a couple of weeks ago, and it was right after the week ended. I was happy to say that Netflix renewed the show for a second season. I think it's a great move by them, and it shows that Netflix is one of those companies that really is committed to having diversity in all sorts of ways in representing their programming, both in front of and behind the camera. And of course, a very good example of that is Dear White People, which now is in its second season on Netflix, produced by Lionsgate. And if you want more details about the program, you can go to Netflix.com. Remember, Netflix is available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And Marquis, once again, say if people want to get involved in the charity that you and your fellow white people, cast and crew, are involved with, where do they go?
They go to the Jordan Edwards Memorial Scholarship.com. The Jordan Edwards Memorial Scholarship.com. And thank you, everybody, for your support. We appreciate it.
And for those of you that are interested, please make a donation if you can. You will do something really, really great for your fellow human beings. Marquis Richardson, co-star of Dear White People. It's been a pleasure to have you on, Marquis. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm a big fan of your show. Congratulations to you, Dustin, your whole cast and crew on the second season. Hopefully number two leads to number three and many, many more.
Thank you so much, Simon. I appreciate it. This is the highlight of my day. Looking forward to this on the weekend. So much success to you Thank you so much. And thank y'all, everybody watching. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Marquis. Our day as well. You take care. All the greatest.
Thank you, Simon. You too.
You got it. Marquis Richardson, co-star of Dear White People on Netflix, joining us live from Los Angeles. And finally, one more time, here's a classic trivia question of the week. If you may have missed it earlier in the program, here it is. On the TV series I Led Three Lives, which was on from 1953 to 1956, syndicated by DID, what three lives did the main character, Herbert Philbrick, lead? On I Led Three Lives, what were the three lives that the main character, Herbert Philbrick, led? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can include your name and where you're from. And if you're the correct answer is first, you win Genius 3's edition of Frankenstein by Mary Shelley in paperback from National Geographic. I want to thank all of our guests for a wonderful 90 minutes of Tomorrow We Televised this Monday afternoon, and all of you for tuning in. We're back on Friday with more guests and hopefully more thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going. At 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific right here, simulcast on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check out the podcast on iTunes.com, on Apple TV, and Spreaker's podcast radio apps, respectively, and on the iHeartRadio podcast network. If you don't have Apple TV, go to the Apple Store to you or order it online. We love hearing from you. Lots to think about and a lot to digest in today's episode. What's your thoughts about what's going on with blockchain and cryptocurrency making new TV series happen? And your thoughts about Dear White People and other shows of that caliber? And your thoughts about the HX TV Festival and TV overall? We'd love to hear. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, or find me on Facebook, or follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. We'd love hearing from you. Why? Because what you say matters. So get involved. We love hearing from you, and we do respond. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or iHeartRadio. Our production associate at BTR is Candace Williams. Anchor's Blog Talk Radio is general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company and proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, coming back for its latest edition this July. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook and 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday and your week. Happy after Mother's Day to my mom, and also happy after birthday to my brother Gary as well in New Jersey with family. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio and Speaker simulcasting live from New Weather, York. Until then, please, whatever you're doing this week, make it a great and safe one. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned.